The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued permits for a controversial project around the Northern Wisconsin Tribes Reservation. It's Friday, November 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Happy Friday. Lots to get to on the show today, including the Arrowhead School District pushing for a plan that would ban transgender athletes in school sports. And Chippewa Falls lost a hospital earlier this year. Now a new emergency room and clinic will open in the area. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, host of Beta. Beta is pioneering.
You know, hitman's living in the shadows, and you have to be anonymous, and you have to be kind of emotionally closed off.
And provocative.
My father used to say that he would punch you so hard that you would go back up to God.
And always playful. Gangbusters? Gangbusters, yeah. That's it. Saturdays at 11 and Sundays at 10 on WPR News.
State environmental regulators issued key wetland and water permits yesterday for a project to reroute an oil and gas pipeline around a Northern Tribes reservation. Danielle Kading has the details.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources issued the permits for Canadian energy firm Enbridge. The company wants to reroute Line 5 after the Bad River Tribe sued the company 5 years ago to shut down and remove the pipeline from its lands. The permits authorize Enbridge to build a new 41-mile segment across hundreds of waterways and wetlands in Ashland and Iron counties. The permits contain more than 200 conditions to ensure the company meets state waterway and wetland standards. Bad River's chairman said he's angry the DNR signed off on what he called a half-baked plan, saying it spells disaster for the tribe. An Enbridge spokesperson said the permits are a major step, adding the project will create 700 jobs and ensure energy for millions of consumers. Enbridge still needs to obtain additional permits to begin construction. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The city of Milwaukee has to hire more police officers and firefighters in order to be in compliance with Wisconsin's new shared revenue law. Under Act 12, if those departments don't maintain staffing, they risk losing out on state money. The Milwaukee Fire Department has 199 sworn daily firefighters right now. They need to get that number up to 218 by 2034. It comes as more firefighters have been retiring in recent years. Josh Parrish is the assistant chief for the department. At the scene of fire training yesterday, he said not everyone has what it takes to be a firefighter.
For us, that's one of our bigger challenges, is making sure that candidates on the list are prepared to do this, both physically and cognitively, really.
The department will have a daily staffing level of 207 next year. The Arrowhead School District wants the State Association of School Boards to support a plan that would ban transgender athletes in school sports. Corrine Hess has more.
Arrowhead School Board member Christopher Ferris says since August, there have been discussions about bringing a resolution to the Wisconsin Association of School Boards to ban biological males from female sports. It's the second time a school district has promoted this legislation. The first effort failed earlier this year. Abigail Sweats heads Fair Wisconsin. She says advocacy groups have a variety of tools to protect the LGBTQ+ community.
We will always be here to support our LGBTQ+ youth and continue the liberation of our entire community.
The resolution could gain more traction when it is presented again in January. President-elect Donald Trump pledged to roll back protections for transgender students. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Aspirus Health will open a new emergency room and clinic in Chippewa Falls after the city lost its previous hospital earlier this year. The Wausau-based health system announced plans for the new facility yesterday. Matt Haywood is president and CEO of Aspirus. He says they hope to open the new hospital in as little as 18 months.
Get in as fast as we can to that community. Get them the services that they need as quick as we can. And that would start with an emergency room. It would be hospital beds. It would be basic lab and radiology services, as well as a clinic.
Haywood says they could decide to expand services in the future as well. Hospital Sisters Health System closed St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls in March as part of an exit from Western Wisconsin. The city's mayor says the new facility will help meet healthcare needs in the community. Coming up, across the country, more Latino voters cast ballots for President-elect Donald Trump this election than before. The same was true for Latinos living in Wisconsin. In just a bit, I'll be chatting with Ricardo Torres of the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel about his reporting on outreach efforts from both parties leading up to the election. Stay with us.
This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
What people see is the prices they're paying, right, or the level of credit card debt they have, and so.
But there's also a practical need to move toward a carbon neutrality, especially on the in the Lake Superior in the North Country.
And if you come together and deal with the issues, you have a greater amount of collective strength.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
More Latino voters in Wisconsin cast ballots for President-elect Donald Trump in 2024 than in 2020. The same was true across the country. Now, both major political parties are trying to figure out how to appeal to this growing and diverse group of voters. Ricardo Torres is a reporter at the Milwaukee Journal-Sentinel. He reported on outreach to Hispanic voters in several pieces leading up to the election. Ricardo, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Just in general, as a voting group, what does the Latino vote look like in Wisconsin, and how did that vote turn out in the presidential election?
The Latino population in general is the largest minority in the state of Wisconsin. Now, that doesn't mean that they are the largest minority voting group. There are certainly some that aren't 18 that can't vote yet. There are some who aren't citizens but may be here legally that can't vote, and some who might be here illegally and can't vote. So it's a group that's gaining more in power slowly in Wisconsin.
So when we look at the Latino vote in the state of Wisconsin, Latinos are not one monolithic group, right? So what were some of the issues that were most important to this voting bloc in Wisconsin this past election?
The economy was definitely a top issue for Latino voters, but it was an issue that was important to all voters in general. And that's one of the things that I think it's uniquely common. Like, it's not a group that has one particular issue that's associated with it. What they care about, what this group cares about, is what everybody cares about. They care about the economy. They care about having safe neighborhoods. And on election day, I talked to a voter on the south side, and he was brought to the polling place by his sister, who had DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. She is here legally because of DACA, but she can't vote. And he was born here. And so she and him made this plan to go to the polls together. And he cast his vote for Kamala Harris because, as he told me, he feels like there was some pressure on him to have a voice for people that he knew, like his sister, that weren't able to vote. Democrats did win the Latino vote. Here in Wisconsin, Harris did win the majority of the Latino vote, but the margins by which she won them were a lot smaller than Democrat presidential candidates won in the past. According to the Marquette Law School poll, Hispanics previously, Democrats had a 61 net margin, meaning they had 61% advantage, and now that margin shrank to 42 in this past election. So a pretty significant chunk has moved over to the Republican side for this election. But as we also saw in Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin won re-election statewide. So it just kind of adds to the complicated nature of voting and people in general.
Ricardo, is there anything you're following right now as we're still combing through all this election data and, you know, looking at where those political parties are going to go from here?
In the lead up to this election, both parties did outreach in Latino communities. They knocked on doors. They did their best to get their messaging out and to make their pitch for their candidates at the top of the ticket. One thing that the Republicans did in Milwaukee that was different from Democrats is the Republicans had a lot of public events. They weren't necessarily well attended. It's not like they got 50, 60, 100 people, but it was, you know, a dozen here, a dozen there. They were open and available and very public in the community, whereas Democrats also did in-person events, but it was a lot more private. And also their offices were opened very late in the cycle. It wasn't a place where people could go to get information if they wanted to. And so it was definitely a different approach. And it's one, at least on the Republican side, they're considering keeping that Southside office open to do more outreach. I think the one thing that we can expect is the unexpected. And so we'll see how long this trend continues with Latino voters. Maybe it's just a one-off for this one election. Maybe it's something that's the start of a new shift.
That was Ricardo Torres of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and that will do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for being with us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. We're taking the weekend off. We'll be back in your podcast feed again on Monday morning. So until then, have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.